Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 1st, 2008. This week, we'll learn how drug side effects could help lead to new treatments for disease. We'll answer a listener's question about preventing scars, but first, Suzanne tells us how stinky hydrogen sulfide gas could be the key to saving the lives of wounded soldiers.
Hydrogen sulfide is responsible for the stench of rotten eggs, but it could soon be used to buy wounded soldiers precious time. According to Mark Roth of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, too much blood loss often leads to rapid death. That's because when the body loses blood, it can no longer get oxygen to tissues. But he says hydrogen sulfide decreases the body's need for oxygen, slowing down the metabolism.
The hydrogen sulfide reduces, at a fundamental level, the metabolic rate. And the metabolic rate defines the time at which events occur for the patient, so that by lowering or slowing that rate, we can increase the length of time that is available for caregivers to help the patient.
He says rats that were administered hydrogen sulfide after losing over 60% of their blood had excellent survival rates compared to controls. He and his colleagues hope to develop a product that wounded soldiers can give themselves while awaiting treatment. Roth says the treatment is now being tested in human patients.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, reporter Justin Warner tells us about a positive aspect to drug side effects.
Just about everyone knows what Viagra is for, but most people don't know that it was originally developed as a heart medication. Now, German and Danish scientists are looking for hidden therapeutic benefits in other existing drugs by looking at their side effects. Per Bork of the European Molecular Biology Laboratory and his colleagues found that drugs that share similar constellations of unwanted side effects may share desirable traits as well.
For many drugs that usually don't have anything to do with each other, they are likely to share targets, common proteins where they bind to.
By comparing side effects for 746 currently available drugs, Bork's team flagged 261 drugs that looked like they might have additional unrecognized medical properties. They tested 20 of those drugs, and sure enough, 13 of them bound to their new predicted molecular target. That suggests that more drugs than we realize may be able to do each other's work, and if one is cheaper, better, or less toxic than the other, all the better.
So existing marketed drugs that went all these years of development, all the toxicology studies are there. If one finds other indication areas where they are suitable, this would be great.
Certainly it would be cheaper and quicker than developing a brand new drug from scratch, a huge benefit in this time of rising medical costs.
Thanks, Justin. Next, guest reporter Karina Wu answers a listener's question about why we get scars.
Barbara Adams of Gainesville, Florida wrote to ask why some cuts heal and some turn to scars. For an answer, we spoke to Jeffrey Gertner, associate professor of surgery at the Stanford University Medical Center. He says all cuts deep enough to go through the full thickness of the skin produce at least some scar tissue, but some wounds end up producing more because of bacterial infection, inflammation, or mechanical stress on the skin or underlying muscle.
As a surgeon, I know that if I close a wound under a lot of tension, that's going to heal with a lot of fibrosis and a bad scar.
Even so, he says a lot about wound healing isn't completely understood. It's a topic he and his colleagues have been studying in the lab.
There's a wide difference between how badly a scar forms in different locations of the same person at different times in the same person's life and between people. And so it's a very interesting question as to why you have these big differences, tenfold differences in how much scar forms at different locations.
He says that if you do get a cut, keeping it clean and free of bacteria can help reduce the chance of scar formation. And of course, if it's deep, seek medical treatment. You might need stitches to help it heal properly.
Thanks, Karina. Scientists at UCLA report in the journal Neuroscience Letters that sleep apnea, marked by snoring and nighttime breathing difficulty, can cause damage to structures in the brain involved in memory. The structures are called mammillary bodies, and the team found that they were 20% smaller in people who suffer from sleep apnea. The research underscores the importance of seeking medical treatment for anyone with impaired nighttime breathing.
And in other sleep news, everyone knows that athletes should get a good night's rest. But Stanford scientists are discovering that it could mean the difference between first place and last place. The researchers worked with 5 members of the Stanford swim team, increasing their sleep duration to 10 hours per night. The result? A whopping half second off their 15-meter swim time. The researchers have gotten similar results with athletes in other sports.
Thank you, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll explore the connection between the mind and the body. We'll tell you how stress makes us more susceptible to disease. We'll meet a researcher who's studying the psychology behind magic tricks. And we'll tell you about a brain chemical that could be a key to sudden infant death syndrome. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a healthy dose of science every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it at our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.